Oh, and the future Bishop of Vincennes, medical doctor Simon Brute, decided he was being called by God to become a priest. His mother vehemently opposed the idea. So did some of his friends. After all, he was a distinguished member of the medical profession in France. His mother, for practical reasons as well, wanted him to assist in financing the medical study of his brother Augustine. Eventually, he was able to convince his mother that he needed to respond to a different calling, and he headed back to Paris at the same time that Augustine entered the College of Medicine. In November of 1803, Simon began private seminary studies. For 10 years, during the French Revolution, houses of religious formation and seminaries had been closed. The shortage of faithful clergy was severe, and young candidates for the priesthood were responding to the need for ministry of those folks who had remained faithful. Diocesan seminaries were reopened by bishops, and in October of 1804, Simon entered the seminary of Saint-Sulpice in Paris. At this time, he came into contact with the Superior General of the Society of Saint-Sulpice, Jacques-André Emery, one of the stalwart religious leaders throughout the Revolution, even while he was imprisoned and was under the threat of the guillotine. Simon's connection to Father Emery would chart the course of his future. The Superior General had already communicated to the first bishop of the United States, John Carroll of Baltimore, that he was willing to send priests to America to start a seminary. The future seminary professor began his own seminary studies unaware of the commitment of Bishop England. With a scholar's pension, Simon Brute began studying philosophy and theology. Natural scholar though he was, a nephew would quote him as saying, "I did not come to the seminary to be a scholar, but to be a saint." At 25 years of age, the new seminarian was older than his peers. In fact, most seminarians were being ordained at his age. Simon Brute also differed from other candidates for the priesthood in that he was a medical doctor. The tie to Napoleon Bonaparte appeared at this time, reappeared really. About to be crowned as emperor, Bonaparte appointed Brute master of ceremonies for the Cardinal Archbishop of Paris. While Simon did not seek advancement, the appointment provided a stipend which he could contribute to the payment of his brother Augustine's medical education. During his seminary career, committed student that he was, Simon Brute began building a library for which he would become noted in his future ministry in the United States. In fact, the collection of books would be the only thing he really ever owned. Madame Brute's opposition to her son's vocation to the priesthood resurfaced during his seminary years. Several times during this period, she tried to intercede with Father Emery to intervene with her son. She could not be deflected from her conviction that he would be an excellent physician, and that was his destiny. The Sulpician General Superior agreed that Simon would make an excellent physician, but he reminded her that in no walk of life could he be of more service than in the priesthood. She conceded the point, but to hope that perhaps he would find an appointment that would allow his medical talent to flourish. Meanwhile, Simon Brute was wrestling with vocational concerns of a different sort. He became preoccupied with the desire to become a foreign missionary in India. As such, his medical credentials could be a valuable asset. He also struggled with the possibility of becoming a Sulpician priest. Finally, on June 10, 1808, the day before the Feast of the Holy Trinity, he was ordained a priest. And he joined the Sulpicians after ordination, and he was loaned to the Diocese of Rennes to teach in the seminary there. Just after his ordination, Napoleon offered Father Brute an appointment to the imperial chapel. Simon refused the appointment, and once more his mother's ambition for her priest's son was thwarted. Father Simon's Sulpician superior, Father Emery, was concerned with the new priest's zeal that apparently appeared excessive at times. He counseled Father Brute to be prudent in his early ministry. Not surprisingly, the desire to be a missionary continued to weigh on Father Brute. Two facts from this period of our first bishop's life are familiar in our day as well. It is not uncommon for parents to discourage a son from pursuing a vocation to the priesthood, and for reasons that are similar to those of Madame Brute. Yet there is no greater opportunity to touch the deepest meaning of people's lives than through ministry in the priesthood. Secondly, the zeal of new priests is refreshing and keeps our church young in our day too. Yet the wisdom of the older Sulpician superior helps on the way to holiness as well.